Hello, Burlington, and welcome to Net Zero Energy. I'm Jennifer Green, Director of Sustainability for the City of Burlington, where our goal is to reduce and eventually eliminate fossil fuel usage. Peter Sterling, it's awesome to have you here today. Peter is the Executive Director of Renewable Energy Vermont, otherwise known as REV. Peter, it's a pleasure to have you.
Well, it's so great to be up here.
Yeah, thanks for making the trek from Montpelier, because we know it's a busy time of year and maybe not easy to get away from the Capitol.
Yeah, it can be challenging, but you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Well, it's a nice spring day, and we appreciate you making the drive. Peter, for folks that don't know REV, tell us sort of who you are, what you do, and REV's mission.
Sure. REV's been around for 25 years, and we work to represent the folks who do business trying to make renewable energy happen in Vermont with wind power, with solar power, with battery storage, cold climate heat pumps, you know, all the good things that are trying to decarbonize our society. And, you know, we're just pushing to get Vermont to do its part to, you know, put less carbon in the air.
Yeah, so we know that, of course, you're member-driven. So BED is a member of REV, of course.
That's right. And so are many other businesses you may have heard of. We have Sun Common, Green Mountain Solar. We have, I don't know, 120 members. So it's, you know, it's a pretty eclectic group. And we have a lot of voices, but they're all united around one thing, which is how do we get Vermont to use as little carbon as possible and decarbonize our lives, particularly in the electric sector?
Okay, so you are in Montpelier today, for example, this legislative session, and you're there on behalf of your members to not only hear what's going on the floor and in the halls, but and also to represent your members on what they see are the most critical and important issues. Is that right?
Yeah, that's pretty fair. The good thing about energy policy, bigger picture, Jennifer, is Vermont can control the whole thing. Like when you talk about tackling healthcare, you have to deal with the federal government because there's Medicare, Medicaid, mine. There's so many issues that are very, very complicated. And other than a nuclear power plant, Vermonters, the people we elect, the people our governor appoints, those folks, they make all the decisions about how we get our energy. So it's actually something we can do. And we've made incredible progress. I mean, not only has BED and other utilities committed to getting 100% renewables, but as a state, we've committed our utilities to procuring 100% renewables by 2035 at the latest. That's the fastest in the country. I mean, that is an incredible achievement. That kind of goes, it's a little quieter under the radar, but boy, we are doing more to use more clean energy, renewable energy, than any state in the nation, pretty much.
Wow, it's amazing. And I think you're right. People don't hear about it. I think we're in a place where we're only sort of hearing and thinking bad stuff. Important to sort of lift our heads up for a moment and look around and be proud of that goal.
Right. And, you know, BED was already committed to that. But, you know, when all those negotiations came around about how to do this, BED actually put more on the table to actually go get more new energy, more renewable energy for when it gets new power. Because that is the key, right? Bigger picture, we're using more energy every day as a society, even as a state. Yes, in the ideal world, wouldn't it be great if we conserved more, if we use less energy? Because that is ultimately the answer, to use less of pretty much everything. Mm-hmm. But we are using more. And as we use more, the real question is, how do we do that affordably? How do we do that where it's renewable? And how do we do it where it doesn't contribute to climate change?
Yeah, exactly. So with that in mind, what is going on in Montpelier that you want to share with us? Or what are the hot topics that either REV is working to support or you're keeping your eye on?
Well, the biggest issue I think that most folks who are watching the news are hearing about is, what are we doing to make life more affordable for Vermonters? I'll put my cards on the table. I believe pretty strongly that this current administration and the Congress have not done much to make life more affordable for Vermonters. Definitely the actions they've taken in the energy sector are doing nothing but raising rates by increasing our reliance on fossil fuels. So we in Vermont have to tackle this affordability issue on our own. And, you know, the good news for Vermonters is we have the lowest electric rates in the region. We've had that for about 3 or 4 years running. So while, yes, it would be great if all of our bills went down, electric bills are generally not the thing driving the unaffordability crisis. I think most of us would agree there's healthcare. If you're younger, there's student loans and childcare, transportation, housing. Those are the things really driving the crisis. Our rates, even though you may hear that they're going up, are generally tracking with inflation. And I'll add, the data is pretty conclusive. The reason they track with inflation is because our utilities, Burlington Electric and many others, have made long-term commitments to purchase renewable energy, which are insulated. Those 20, 25-year contracts are insulated from price shocks, let's say when there's a war in Ukraine or a ship gets stuck in the Suez Canal, or as is the case now, we start bombing a country that produces a lot of oil and shuts down the shipping lanes for all of our fossil fuels, right? So because we've committed to renewables, utilities writ large, we're insulated. We have insulated from those price shocks. We have lower rates than anywhere else in New England and in New York. And that is actually a real success story, I think, that should not go unnoticed. And, you know, in the legislature, of course, they're trying to do more to make things affordable. But I just think there's many other areas that need to be tackled. And the path we're on with our electric sector is not the problem.
You talk about it tracking with inflation. And so when rates do go up, and they do, it's not about the greedy utilities. It's about other things. It's about labor. It's about transmission costs, et cetera. Is that right?
And the one big et cetera that we should not, maybe it's less a case here in Burlington, but certainly for other utilities like Green Mountain Power, WEC, and VEC, who are more rural, it's climate-driven storm repairs. I mean, that is in the millions and millions of dollars. That is an actual impact on Vermonters' rates in those utility service areas. Every time those poles go down, the wires get ripped down. You know, we have these December snowstorms where there's much wetter, heavier snow. We have flooding. That is millions and millions of dollars that comes out of ratepayers' pockets. And, you know, many of us who were sounding the alarm bell many years ago that this climate crisis was going to have an economic impact of Vermont. That's one of the ways it's coming out. So that is actually a big driver, in addition to what you mentioned, healthcare costs, labor costs. And another huge one I must add that is kind of out of Vermont's control is the skyrocketing price of natural gas. Because when we don't procure enough renewables, when we don't have enough power, the grid turns on a natural gas plant to feed our power. And quick quiz, Jennifer.
Yeah.
There are 64 baseload natural gas plants in New England that give us our power. How many of those are located in Vermont?
Nada.
Zero.
Yeah.
Right? So when you hear about people who don't want to go renewable in Vermont, I don't want to look at a wind turbine or I upset about a solar panel, we are asking primarily low-income people and people of color in those 64 communities, totaling millions of people, to live next to a natural gas plant so we can get our electricity. To me, that is the height of hypocrisy and the height of environmental racism. These gas plants are 60 acres. That would cover most of downtown Burlington. Wow. We would never site one of these plants in Vermont. We wouldn't even have the conversation, yet we asked 64 other communities, in addition to the smaller peaker plants, to live next door to those plants so we can get our electricity. And I just think that's a really important data point when we hear people's concerns. Well, what about a solar panel or a wind turbine? Well, what about people live next to a natural gas plant? The only thing that I would ask people to really try to remember, every single time we put up a solar panel in Vermont, it at some point displaces the energy from one of those natural gas plants. It's a little step in the direction of pushing those natural gas plants off because we need them less of the time because we're producing more solar. And when I say solar, I also mean wind.
Yeah.
And also battery storage also helps. Anytime we take one of those steps, we push one of those terrible natural gas plants closer to being offline. And that's a big thing to remember.
Tell us a little bit about data centers. I know that's come up in the legislature. And should we care?
Yeah. Well, nationally, I think we should very much care because these things are driving massive load requirements, which are causing big spikes in power elsewhere. And that does trickle into New England. In Vermont, I don't see us as hosting a data center anytime soon. I think if you ask me to name 25 things that are going to drive our rates up in the next 10 or 15 years, I don't think a data center would be one. I'd say the actions of our Congress and the president are pretty much number one on my list. Wars that cut off the fossil fuel supply, which then trickle over to our electric rates, you know, that'd be number two. And then, you know, climate crisis, storms and stuff like that. But man, I would not put data centers anywhere in the top of that list anytime soon. There's no plans for one. No one's talking about one. A lot of the conversation that we're hearing in the legislature is a reaction to the national winds that are blowing all in the direction of raising rates. And, you know, Pennsylvania, New York are having these conversations. They're very close to us, so we hear that news. This isn't like it's just happening in Alaska.
Yeah. So what else are we hearing about? Give us one or two more items.
Well, the governor in his State of the State address back in January did lay out his vision for having Vermont become more reliant on nuclear power moving forward. And while I, you know, understand that at some level nuclear power uses less carbon than oil and gas, you know, no one's talking about siting a new nuclear power plant anytime soon. I don't see how that brings down rates anytime soon, bringing on a new nuclear power plant. And, you know, all the conversations about small reactors, a little one, not like, you know, I don't know, 10% of the size of Vermont Yankee little ones. That's all theoretical. No one's ever shown you how much it costs. The one prototype that's out in Idaho, I think, was somewhere in the area of $300 a megawatt hour. And because that's energy nerd talk, just as a comparison, we can build a solar array in Vermont, you know, in a field, like 20-acre field, for like $100 a megawatt hour. And if you put that with battery storage, it may go up a little, but the benefits become enormous because you can store that power. So nuclear, this new nuclear power is not anywhere near as price competitive, and it won't be. So I'm not really sure why that's necessary. And the other thing that is a little concerning, at least for me, is there's been a law on the books for, I don't know, a couple decades now that the legislature must vote to approve any new nuclear plant in Vermont. And the governor wants to remove that part of the process, which, if this is such a great idea, why not let the legislature vote on it, right? And, you know, the governor's argument is that no other form of energy needs this kind of approval. And we have the Public Utility Commission, we have the federal NRC, Nuclear Regulatory Commission. But again, if this is a great idea, let the legislature vote. They'll be swayed. I don't see why you'd want to remove any kind of public affirmation like that. One point I'd love to touch on, Jennifer, is, you know, the real future I see that doesn't involve creating nuclear waste is offshore wind off of New England.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Because that has the potential to, you know, do so much to decarbonize our grid. Offshore wind, it blows. It's very consistent in the winter. It's very consistent at night, which is great because that's when our solar production's at its lowest. So this offshore wind is a perfect complement to a lot of the solar we have here in Vermont. It's coming in at, like I said, that nuclear power is estimated something like $300 a megawatt hour. This offshore wind's bidding right now at like $170. So it's about half the price of this nuclear that hasn't even been built yet. And this offshore wind's coming online. You know, the five different federal judges have struck down the Trump administration's five different attempts to block those projects. So all five of those projects are moving forward. One of them came online yesterday with more turbines.
Massachusetts, right?
Yep. And I was lucky enough to take a boat trip out to come real close to one of these magnificent things. And this is the most incredible stat to me. One of those turbines out there in the ocean, you know, 20, 30 miles from shore, one revolution of one of those turbines makes enough electricity to power a house for a day. And you have dozens of turbines turning dozens of times a minute. Very few people can see them. You definitely can't hear them. And if you see them, they're specks.
Yes, yes.
There's no proven damage to, you know, aquatic wildlife or fishermen or anything like that. So to me, you know, bringing more of those online as fast as possible would just be such a great way for us to decarbonize our grid. There was an analysis by ICE in New England that during those coldest 2 weeks, New England ratepayers would have saved $400 million by not having to buy expensive oil and gas during that peak cold, just from 2 weeks of those offshore wind turbines that Donald Trump and his buddies are trying to shut down.
And so when these wind farms come online, they're really impacting affordability throughout the region, which has a direct impact on Vermont.
Oh, every day, every second of every hour of every day, what happens elsewhere in New England on our grid affects how much we pay for our power. Bringing on that wind, bringing on that solar, bringing on energy batteries, like many of the investments that BED has made, doing that in a bigger scale for throughout New England will lower rates and decarbonize our grid.
Well, Peter, it was a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for sharing your time and your expertise and letting us know what's going on in Montpelier and how you're representing your members.
Pleasure to be here. If anyone ever wants to follow up on any of this, holler at me at Rev. We're easy to find on the internet. I'd love to talk more.
Great. Thanks, Peter. Thank you again for listening to Net Zero Energy from Burlington Electric Department. If you have any questions about the show or what BED offers regarding rebates or technical support, look for us at burlingtonelectric.com or call us at 802-865-7300. We're here to help you on our mutual path to net zero energy.